I saw you in my dreams last night. When I saw you, I thought I'd just come and ask, hey, if you could be my dream girl this life. In this life, you could be my dream come true. You could be my dream come true. Lust must start somewhere. Let me be your guide. And if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, what does beauty behold in its eye? To know, let me fall into the pools of your eyes and view for myself what you see from the eyes of beauty. Testing your beliefs in lust or love at first sight. Whatever it is, you see, that's where I've fallen tonight. And in the meantime, between time, today will become tomorrow. And tomorrow, I will think of yesterday, which is the day when I met you. And who would have thought that I only dreamt of you the day before? And in that dream, I sensed you, when all sense has lost its value. The blind, they close their eyes as not to get caught staring in your presence. The deaf, they told of your footsteps that sound like flower petals when falling to the ground. The dumb, they spoke in tongues and sign language of your beauty, because verbal speech just seemed too profane to speak of your essence. And this might just be a rumor, but I heard that one morning the sun tried to give you tongue when it kissed your face, and there was an eclipse because the moon was fighting to take its place. The wind whistled, and the oceans waved to get your attention. I bow my head because telepathically I feel like you're sensing my fascination. Because right now my thoughts are neither here or there, they're just around the corner off somewhere. And you don't really know me yet, so I wouldn't let it go that far. Does beauty have a name? And if it doesn't, would it be any less beautiful? Because right now, testing your beliefs and lust of love at first sight. Wherever it is, you see, that's where I've fallen tonight. From the eyes of beauty. What does beauty behold in its eyes? I have in my eye your beauty. Because love must start somewhere. Let me be your guide.
Saw you in my dreams last night. When I saw you, I thought I'd just come and stay. If you could be my dream girl in this life. Could be my dream come true.
Say hi.
Hi.
The Checker Radio family.
Yay.
What's up?
What's up? That's a big cheese party. Yes. It's just me and the original one, and I'm chilling in the studio. Fuck, it's gonna be hot. Oh my god, I love this place. Check out the radio station.
Rootsreggaeradio.com.
That's right. What y'all know about that?
The universe did set this
up. That's what I'm saying. It's
exactly how it came to be.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Crazy. She told me, and I was like, bam, bam. She told me, Kepa. I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
I guess we just came in the house.
What's up, yo? No.
And you're listening to Artists in the City. This is Roots Reggae Radio, and this is Mally, aka Docu Vixen, and we are here again. We made it this week. Yay, we made it. Despite the Mercury in retrograde, despite everything. And we're heard here every Thursday, 6 to 7. And you just heard a track by Eddie, the original one. And the track was called Beauty Dream Come True. And Eddie is here with me in the studio, and I will let him introduce himself.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio. Welcome to Roots Reggae Radio. Yay, I'm so excited.
I'm excited. This is really cool.
I know.
I love the studio. This is the joint.
It's an awesome place.
I want one in my house. This is beautiful. I love it.
It's good vibes all around, you know?
All around. I love the colors. Oh my god. If you guys could only see, like, see through the internet and just see this is beautiful. This is nice. We just need some incense and candle.
Exactly. So, Eddie, you know, we've known each other for a while.
A little bit.
You've been an artist, a spoken word artist for quite a while. So maybe just tell listeners, what's coming up. And yeah, basically, what are you up to as a spoken artist in the city?
In fact, actually, so last night I was in rehearsals because I'm getting ready for this weekend. I'm actually hooking up with Al San Luis, and it's our birthday. Both myself and Al are March 9th. We're some Pisces people, and it's very interesting. He's got a bundle of poets in the city that are major poets in the city, and they're all born on March 9th. I'm not sure what the correlation actually is, but, you know, we're doing our thing. And so this weekend we actually are doing a show. We got a live band, we got some comedians, we got Jay Martin, John Paul, we got Lisa Michelle singing, we got KB from back in the day. Anybody from Toronto remembers KB, he's going to be on the mic, and we got the Soulmate Band who's going to be rocking out. And so it's going to be a dinner, a show, and then a party. And we're going to be partying all night and having a good time. So, you know, come on out, get your tickets. No, $15 if you just want to come out to the show and the party, but $25 you can get dinner and tea. You know, bring a friend, you know, come out. It's nice, very nice.
So, I just like to step back. Didn't last year you had sort of like something for your birthday? You had a performance on your birthday? Or is that just me?
Last year I was supposed to have a performance for my birthday, so then I just only ended up having a party. And then it was later, right? The performance ended up being later.
Yes, I remember.
In May, so it's really funny because actually a few people were going, "Isn't your birthday in May?" And I'm like, no, I was supposed to have the May show in March, and it ended up being in May just because we had some venue issues. But you know, yeah. But my birthday is in March, yeah. And we partying and we having a good time.
Right.
And so come on down; it's going to be amazing. You know?
Well, we'll get into that, if you know, the trials and tribulations of trying to get your art out there. But I wanted to introduce who's also in the studio.
Hi.
Hi, Afra Karen.
Hey.
So since Eddie introduced himself, I'll allow you to introduce yourself as well.
Hi, I am Afra Karen. I am a spoken word poet, and I'm also a survivor in the studio.
Welcome to Roots Reggae Radio. And welcome to Artists in the City. You guys are actually my second studio interview, so it's very special.
Wow.
Wow.
I like being special.
You know what I mean? Number two, like the top three. That's like a,
yeah,
you know, the first three is such a big
team.
So you also have like a project, you have a fundraiser coming up, right? So
yeah, it's actually going on right now. I have been accepted to the Banff Center for the Arts.
Which I think is like, it's like a heaven for artists. If anybody has seen that, I dream of going there too.
So you want to hear how big the Banff Center is? I got on the subway last night after a performance, and I bumped into a guy who cut my hair once, and he's part of, like, shout out to Babylon Warchild, but he's part of this hip-hop group called Babylon Warchild. So we sit down, we're talking and stuff, and he's like, so how's your craft? And I'm like, oh, it's good. I just came back from a show. I'm fundraising to go to Banff. He's like, Banff! Like, and then his partner was like, Banff!
And like, you, man.
Everybody that I've told about Banff like loses their business, and they knew the details. He was like, do you have a cabin or do you have a room? And I was like, I had a room. He's like, doesn't matter, it's Banff. Oh my god, I'm so proud of you. They didn't even know me, but was just so excited for a sister on her way to Banff. So
really,
like, it's a big the more that I interact with people and tell people, the more that I really kind of recognize how amazing this is.
It's heaven kind of thing. And there's so much going on, and it's cross disciplines. Maybe one time, you know, the show will end up going there.
You should bring your first three radio guests, like your first three with you as well.
I'm just saying.
I just think that would be good. You know, make it all anniversary and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. This time next year. maybe talk about the album that you have out.
Okay, so I and my producer, who I don't like to call my producer because I just think he is, not just him, but producers in general, they get that kind of producer title, and it's not acknowledged that they're incredible artists as well. So I really feel like the album that we have out, which is called 1111, is a collaboration, and he's so instrumental in being an amazing partner to my words. And so this album has been out for 2 years. It's been out for 2 years for free, so people could experience it. And then I got this opportunity to go to Banff. And rather than rely on grants, which do not come through on time, and I am broke, yeah, they don't come through on time, the universe really made it clear to me that I needed to trust the community on this. And it's a really interesting thing to try and tell people when you hear voices in your head and you listen to those things, but I think if you listen to my album, you'll kind of get that this isn't my head making me, like sometimes I really feel like I channel the ancestors, and I'm speaking through those experiences. So that's really a very vital part of my life. And so when I heard that I needed to do this fundraiser, I was like, okay, I'm going to put it out to the community. And it was one anxious piece of business to do, but we started up this fundraising campaign on Facebook, and it's called I Support Afrikaaren Because. And I've been doing this a long time, and I've been connected to a lot of amazing people who have said very amazing things about my work. So I asked them to articulate for people why they support me on this journey, because I really believe that the investment of the energy was also really important in manifesting this as a reality. And I've been really overwhelmed by the donation of words and energy and support with nothing, like no money, no nothing, and people are just coming out of the woodwork. So there's I Support Afrikaaren because you can find out what you need to know. We have a show coming up. I have a reading coming up this March the 10th at Ellington's, and I also have a show coming up March 23rd as well. And you can go to www.afrikaaren.bandcamp to donate, which is downloading the album. Minimum suggestion of $5 or more if you feel.
It's a $20 album. It's come true. Bring out your $20.
Eddie's my partner. that's the idea of this, and it's shown me a lot in so many different ways.
Okay, so we're going to actually listen to some of it, and then we'll be back and we'll have a sort of a group discussion about how it is to be artists in the city.
Oh, God.
I hope you don't mind if I introduce myself. Gifted from birth, with the power of the goddess tattooing her soul's spiraling journey out of the universe, Afrikaaren is a channel of the divine power that smells like truth and bears the fruit of a million conversations with the stars. She is a molten lava Jupiter child, fire-breathing daughter of an archer's flaming sun, an arrow suspended forth from revolution's bow, landing bullseye and center in the lap of the earth. A granddaughter to an intuitive twinning moon that sung her spirit lullabies in the night times of her youth. She now stands before you, a winter sister, come through a December, born from a mother of island blood. She has only now begun to etch her mark into this world. Now, on her 13th year of being potent poet, oblivious to her power, she has decided to own it as she knows it, grace her space with its benevolence and capture it. Sister friend, who's spoken from within herself, the potential she sees in everyone else, is now poised on a precipice to speak for herself. Get yourselves set.
Girl, a sickening example of the world, girl. But you can't let their touch hold you down forever. It's time to get up from under them, girl. Break free from the way that they harmed you, girl. I know it's not easy. I'm not pretending it's gonna be. Get up from under them, girl. Just breathe deep into your yellow space and heave them off you, girl. Get up from under them, girl. Scream no and get up from under them, girl. This is your life. They will not have it. You made the choice to be here. Do not allow anyone to make you regret it. I know that you hurt and you bleed right now. I know that you need love right now. I understand how you are sitting dazed wondering what to do right now. Hear me now. Do not allow them to touch you into regression. Do not allow forked tongues to curl words of suppression around you, girl. Do not become trapped in this world, girl. Believe that you can build your own, girl. Tell every single person you know how these people try to weaken you. Do not worry if they choose to remain silent. You keep speaking, girl. Do not forget the sound of your voice or its power to be heard, girl. Each and every person who shows the back of themselves in response to the truth that you're telling, the hurt you are shedding, they are wrong, girl. This is your world. Don't let anyone push you off of it. Claim your life now in this moment of hurt and confusion and run, girl. You gotta go on, girl. You gotta keep going and you grow, girl. You go on and you grow, girl. Monsters, girl.
Roots. You're listening to Artists in the City. This is Roots Reggae Radio. We're here, heard here every Thursday, 6 to 7, and that was Girl Girl by Afro-Karen. Beautiful. So maybe talk a little bit about, you know, because this has been a, like a, you know, this project has been with you for a long time. And, yeah, how is it sort of, you know, how has it been through the process, and how do you sort of keep it sort of, I guess, present in, with yourself because you've been with it for so long? And is it different every time you hear it, and how is that? And do you kind of hear things differently now than you did at the beginning? How is that process?
Because it was created from acapellas that I recorded to do a grant application with. And I was in this amazing nurturing relationship with my producer, like as like friends, like not, you know, but there's no other way to explain it, because he really, I will say without a doubt, he rescued me creatively in a certain way, because I had disappeared and I didn't really know my ability. And so we pulled up all of these pieces that I had written for a very long time and kind of didn't really think they meant anything and they weren't important. And I can remember writing these pieces and putting them to the side and going, this is garbage. I don't even know what I'm doing. This doesn't make any sense. What the heck? I'm done. This isn't going to happen. And so we did this grant application and they sat there. And then 2 to 3 years later, I get an email and it just pops up. He's like, listen to this. And I hear this amazing beat, and it was Grow Girl, funnily enough. I heard this amazing beat, so I was like, wow, this is, wow, he's killing it. Like, I wonder, you know. And then I heard my voice, and I started crying. because I was so, he made me understand what my voice was like in a way that I still think I'm experiencing. And because of the fact that he took that time, he literally crafted the beats around my acapellas. There were no beats in place. He was so connected to this work. And he was so connected to me as an artist. He really wanted me to understand how valuable he thought my voice was and how unique what I did was, that he invested all of this time to create this album and would send me these pieces every 2 or 3 weeks. And he sat in the studio and he did this. And I think I continue to feel that on every level every time I listen to it. And it's interesting because I think I feel like, what I say about the album is that what I realize now is that the reason I couldn't recognize how valuable the words were when I was writing them was because I was writing them for the person that I now am. And I wasn't capable of being able to understand that language when I was writing it. I was channeling it for something else. And when you look at all the things that come together right now for this to be where it's at and doing what it's doing and how people are feeling it and connecting to it and the feedback I get, it just so makes sense in a way that sometimes I'm just not capable of being able to articulate. It is, I can say that it's powerful work in a way that sometimes doesn't even feel like it has anything to do with me. It feels much bigger, and that I'm just kind of like a tool and a filter and a channel that it kind of came through.
So maybe talk about, like, what was the time period from when you wrote the acapellas, you know, basically you kind of left it alone, and then your producer kind of had it. So what was that time frame like?
7 years. Wow. That's what's so crazy. I would say 7 to 8 years, actually, but like about 7 years of writing bits and pieces of things that I would literally judge every time it came out, and just being like, what is this? I don't even understand this. Who's going to understand this? I don't even get this. This doesn't make sense about who I am. I don't like that. And it collecting and it pooling, you know, and me needing to do this grant application and just being like, well, this is what I got. So, and it's work in progress, and grant applications are about work in progress. So, and performing these things. And I can't even remember how disconnected I felt uttering those words. This album reminds me of something that I feel like I come into now daily, which is that we think we know. You know, like as human beings, we think we know. We allow our intellect to, determine how smart we are. You know, our intelligence. We have intelligence levels that we are not in contact with. Because I can remember how I felt recording those, and when I listen back to them, how I felt recording them is not what's transferred in listening to them. You know, and that's why. I feel like I really feel like I was a channel, right? Because if what I felt, if what I felt and what I thought when I was recording that came through those recordings, I don't think they would have the same impact. But I think something else took over and decided to speak. And that is what, you know, people hear. And in combination with the amazing work that Gigs did. You know, shout out to Gigs the Unknown Producer at Gigs the Unknown Producer on Twitter. He is phenomenal. When somebody loves you so unconditionally, as an artist, as a person, what they are capable of being able to show you of yourself, you can never see for yourself. And to be really honest, you know, it's so amazing that I'm in the studio with Eddie, because those are two of the people who have forged me as an artist. Eddie from the time I came out, and then Gigs, you know, this 10-year span.
You know, when you are working with people, it's nice to have a person that's going to be that mirror, you know. I think that's really important in sort of getting a team or basically creative team together, right? So shout outs that you've got that.
Amazing.
So, Eddie, let's speak about, you know, your work, and maybe talk a little bit about what you were working on last year, and, you know, your development to now.
Okay, so I've been a spoken word artist for quite a while now, and then, which I always kind of tell people, like, I feel like I'm a lucky spoken word artist. It's like I do the work that I do, and then I've kind of traveled around the country and I've performed and I've done stuff, but I wasn't really trying. And now, so I've kind of come to the decision where, like, I kind of took somehow, like, you know, the day job kind of took me off onto a different path. I'm realizing now that I don't want to be on that path anymore. I want to actually really, really try to be an artist. That not just kind of like, you know, be an artist by like using the force kind of thing. So because of that, I started kind of going, okay, well, what are really all my talents as a performance poet and stuff like that. And my day job, like, basically, I'm a coordinator for events, so like I do sound and lights and video and engineering and stuff like that. So last year the plan was basically to take my day job talents with my performance talents and merge them. So I created a show last year called Beats, Rhymes, and Lights, and that's the one that we did in May that you guys thought was the birthday show, but it wasn't. May is not my birthday.
Which was phenomenal. I actually saw it. It was great.
Thank you.
And I hope you do that again.
I'm definitely hoping to. And also what I'm trying to do within that process was actually fine-tune it that if, because like that particular show, I had a band and, you know, it was the full production with like the lights and whatever. So right now I'm trying to find a way so I can compact it that, you know, I can put the lights in a bag and throw it over my shoulder and jump on a plane and just go wherever and perform.
Make it more portable.
Yeah, the performance a little more portable. Yeah, so that's really what I'm trying to do right now, just kind of fine-tune it, and we'll hopefully in the future I also want to do like a one-man show and some other stuff. So that's, right now I'm just kind of working out what the details of that actually looks like and figure that out. So, but I definitely want to do the Beats, Rhymes, and Lights show again. I think like it's an amazing show, and I had some amazing artists. I had Afrocam was actually the host of my show, actually.
Is this a big family thing?
What? How do you mean?
It's a big family thing, yeah. So, yeah, she hosted my show, and actually, just the other day, I was just kind of watching her just actually as a host, and I was just like, oh, right? I'm just like, she had PR jokes, man. And like, I'm loving it. So working on that, and I have a show that I'm doing in Montreal called Soul Deep, which Africaner is also in. Wow, you're just in everything I do, ain't
you? Let listeners know. So Eddie, you contacted me. What's going on? I was like, hey, I want to interview you for the show. Can you come in next Thursday? Da, da, da. And then Afrikaren messaged me. I don't know you, but I would really want to be on your show. I was like, okay, cool. Two spoken word artists. That kind of makes sense. And then you guys sort of didn't know that you guys were going to be on the show till today. Because yeah. I said, oh, by the way. And then blew your both of your minds.
So we're doing a show in Montreal, which I'm also producing and hosting. I'm hosting and performing in, and Afrikaren will be performing in. We have, and this particular show is called Soul Deep. I'm doing it with a business partner and a longtime friend of mine, almost basically who I consider like an older brother, in Montreal, Jesse, who's a visual artist. So we did the show twice last year, just literally right after I did Beats, Rhymes, and Lights. We did two more shows. And now we're doing this one for this year, and so we added our my friend Jesse. He's a visual artist, so we're basically making it an art, poetry, and music show. And so that's going to be on May 19th in Montreal. So if any of y'all want to come down to Montreal and see an amazing show, you know, and also too, like, yeah, the show's also done in like in three different languages. So we're doing it in French, English, and Haitian Creole. So you know, so. And then also I just got published in this book called The Great Black North.
The Great Black North!
So, if people don't know, there was this book that came out about a couple of weeks ago?
Valentine's Day. It got launched for February. Okay. For February 1st, but Valentine's Day for when in Toronto, here in Toronto.
Yeah, and it's called The Great Black North, Contemporary African-Canadian Poetry, and apparently, it's the first one.
It's not the first it's not the first anthology of African Canadians, but it's the first one done by the people who are producing the book, the editors of the book. Yeah.
Okay. So I heard wrong.
Yeah.
It's like that's kind of shocking. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway, so I think people should check it out. I believe you can pick it up. I know for sure at Accents, probably
different book lists, knowledge books. There's a few other places, and you could also go online. Yeah, you could also go online and order it too.
Yeah. So it's pretty extensive. And with a lot of
amazing artists.
You go pick that up. It's called The Great Black North, Contemporary African-Canadian Poetry. So what was the process of this? They asked for submissions?
They asked for submissions. So what happened was the book has kind of been talked about for a few years. And then finally they got together with George Eliot Clark, who's been like the poet laureate for a few years, and who's published a number of poetry books. And they got together with help from him and a few other people to actually, you know, told them what the idea was and like, you know, how can we contact a publisher to actually do this. And then they started sending out letters to all the different cities to get African Canadian writers from different backgrounds and whatever to submit to it. And then here it is, you know, and luckily my work was, actually they kind of ran me down because I was like busy, actually I think I was, yeah, at the time I was busy actually doing my show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they're just going, could you just send us some stuff? It was past the deadline. I was like, I'm not going to bother with it, right? You know, I got stuff to do. I got stuff to do, but they kept on like hounding me. It's like, no, like you have to be in this book. And it's like, they're like, all right, just, you know, Tuesday night, I'll send you something, right? So finally, you know, like, so I sent it, and so there's a, so my piece, My Two Cents, in there is in the book, and and I'm very proud of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So because and then when I looked at the list of artists, it was just like I'm like every black person, every black writer in Canada is in this thing. Like where, like I was actually talking to Motion, and I was just like, yo, there's people in there that I didn't even realize they still write. And yeah,
apparently they were really like persistent with everybody.
Yeah, you know, I was actually even mad at Afrikaaren that her stuff wasn't there. I'm just like, cause she's so amazing. So, but I was like, next one, you know. There'll be many more, you know. So, so I'm proud of all the people. Yeah, to be in the lineup, all the people that are in this book. It's cool.
I wanted to actually start discussion. The angle of the show is, you know, how we sort of survive as artists in this great city that we call Toronto. I don't know if it's always great, but it is sometimes. So what do you guys, sort of, what is your daily kind of grind in trying to sort of make your art, but also, you know, survive in the city?
Grind really kind of comes down to it's basically sometimes people say if it's not making money, it's actually just a hobby. So so it kind of comes down to, you know, is your art a hobby or is it something that you do to make your living at? And I think a lot of us would like it not to be a hobby, but I think it actually is for a hobby for artists. So within Canada, it kind of comes down to getting grants to trying to support yourself once you take the time to actually figure out how that works, and that's a process. That's definitely a process. You know, making sure that you get it in on time, making sure that you know get all their regulations and figure out all that stuff, and then you know kind of still having the confidence in yourself to market yourself. And that's really not, sometimes as artists, that's not really our biggest strong suit. We don't really know how to market ourselves. You're just like, you know, you're just kind of hope, okay, the art will sell itself. But, you know, but it's kind of like, if people don't know about it, you know, if you're not putting it out there for other people to know about it, it's one thing to say, okay, your friends know about it. And that's the other thing, like, even like with my business partner, when we're putting on the show and stuff like that, you know, you have all your friends, like all my friends are, the majority of my friends are artists. So if they, yeah, well, the broke and those who are not broke, basically you're a working artist. So you're always busy. So it's like, you know, you're going, yo, I have, you know, 600 friends on Facebook. They will all come out to my show. No, they're all working artists, you know. So maybe, so basically what you realize is you have to go outside of your friends to get those people. Those are the people that are, find people that are going to support you. Because after a while, within your own city, you hit a ceiling. Of, you know, or because, you know, somebody who does support you, okay, if they bought the CD or they bought the DVD or they came to the show, is basically, well, how many times? They could only buy the CD once. You know, it would be nice for them to buy it twice or three times, but that's not the reality. That's not the reality. So once, okay, you got all your friends to buy it, you got all your family members, you know, you guilt them into getting it. You like me. Come on, you gave birth. Yes, right? You know, basically, all right, so what happens after that? Like, how do you sell your art? How do you get it so that you're actually making a living off of what you're doing and or spending more time creating than worrying about, you know, the roof over your head and the clothes on your back? So that becomes the grand, the big challenge. And what us as artists, I think we all kind of know it, but it's just kind of figuring out how to do that balancing act of doing the business side, because as I say, show business, and business is actually the bigger word in the whole thing. So if that's what we've decided that we want to be in, this entertainment thing, it's just, yeah, how do you make that grind and create and still be able to create and love what you're doing, you know, and not feel like you're selling out or whatever, you know? So
yeah, Afrikaaren, tell me, did you ever get that grant?
I didn't get that grant, but I have gotten grants. I feel like my journey as an artist is a little different. And I feel like it's different because I took risks in places that people thought were really crazy. And I listened to parts of myself that I think we're trained not to listen to. So I have lived in lack for a very long time. I've been articulating this a lot on my Facebook lately. Like, I've lived in a sort of struggle, right, about maintaining my environment and my home and my family and my community, and gone into places and existed in spaces that are really fearful for a lot of people, right? But in tackling those fear spaces, it forged me and it grew and it aids in my art. The risks that I took allowed me to see things differently and to feel things differently. I don't necessarily know that I plan from my mind's eye and being able to see, like, when people talk about the five-year goal, right? You got to set it up. You need the five-year goal. You need to know this, 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 this. It's not that I don't believe in the five-year goal. I just don't always believe that the goal that we see is specifically the space that we're trying to reach. I tend to believe that the goal that we see is a symbolic image of the place that we're trying to arrive at in a sensory way. That it's a depiction of something that we have no concept of how we get to unless we live it and we allow ourselves to have a certain amount of faith in the universe and jump and allow the net to fall and stuff like that, right? And I think we've been conditioned into this idea of what livelihood is and what safety is and what it means to pay the rent. I will be very honest with you. There have been times where I worried about my ability to pay my rent. That's not, and that's something that I think we feel like a lot of us feel a lot of shame about, except I will have conversations with everybody and know that everybody has had that experience. And for me, I'm constantly trying to mine those experiences of anxiety and shame and fear, because when you are able to speak to those things, that's kind of like the universal space. So that's my goal mind. Mm-hmm. So when people talk about what my livelihood is, right? My livelihood is so much my art, and my art so much my livelihood, that that's what I risk and sacrifice for on a regular basis. I can say this now. I didn't understand that is what I was doing when I did it. And when people looked at me and told me that I was crazy, right, they were like, you need to get a paycheck. Like, you can't live like this. Like, what are you doing? Like, I was hustling. I was, you know, off the beaten path, hustling, sometimes working as a waitress, sometimes not working at all, my partner was working, like, we would switch, so sometimes I would work. Like, it just, we experienced lack, but in experiencing lack, we also experienced the wealth that we had, right? And so it's hard to articulate and put into space what my survival looks like, because I really do feel like my survival looks a little bit different. And how I continue to survive is now turned, is at this point in time, I can feel it switching. I can feel the universe saying, okay, here now, right? And here now is what it is that you desire in the way that you desire it, right? I think what I have to learn, and I think Eddie just said this, is I have to learn how to ask. Because as artists, you do kind of have this hope that people will just come in, you know? But you need to have faith in not just your art, but who you are as a human being. Like, you need to eat. You need to pay your rent. You need to do that stuff. You don't want to do that working for someone who doesn't give two shits about you. Like, working hard shouldn't be something that exhausts you for somebody else. You have to kind of recognize that at some point, working hard is nothing you're going to get away from. But who are you going to work hard for, right? And working hard isn't always about the dollar you get in your hand. Like, sometimes working hard is about struggling through life, you know? So that's kind of been, when I talk about my living, mm-hmm. that, like, it's literally the living of life that I think produces your wealth, that manifests how, and you find out how much you need from what you think you need, you know? You really find out the core of stuff, you know? I got back to having to pinch pennies so much that, like, I understood why I bake my own bread, make my own granola, you know what I mean? Like, I do those things. Those are things that, you know, white privileged people do now because that's what the chef on, like, food television tells them to do. That's what I had to do to live my life, but that's also how I learned how to feed my family better. And And, you know, I couldn't buy tons of groceries. I had to buy things in smaller amounts. But I learned that that's the way to live your life, you know. It taught me things. And so, yeah, you know.
Yeah, living simply. Actually, the last show that, I don't know if you guys know, Love.
Yeah.
Show, yes.
Shout out to Rose and Nick.
we kind of talked about, you know, rearticulating where our community's wealth is.
Yeah.
Right, and framing, because we do have a lot of wealth. It's just, you know, we don't recognize it
at all.
And sort of, kind of, you know, moving away from that sort of material sort of.
Capitalistic consumerism, yeah. Kind of idea of what successful is, you know? I think we really have to redefine what successful is. And I know that defining myself by those terms of success made me crazy and depressed. And I don't know if I can swear on radio, so I'm not going to say that. But it messed my life up. And so I needed to go in a different direction. Yeah.
Did you have anything to add?
Wow. Every time I listen to African, I get sad.
You're like, just, you can let it sink.
I think, but also, yeah, as artists, but within looking at what those things are, like the basic needs, like, you know, we can't be afraid of necessarily, or get into that whole mindset of the starving artist, because you don't, to be an artist, we don't necessarily have to be starving just to be an artist. And I think that's just a great myth of what they kind of told people to keep artists down.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And we started kind of believing
it's getting
it.
Getting tired.
Yeah, it's very tiring. It's very tiring. Because I believe that basically as artists, it's just that we have to kind of organize ourselves just a little better in planning what we actually. In what we actually do to be successful in what we do, and be able to create our art, and you know, because one thing is like always you kind of tell people like, you know, people go, well, you know, I need money, but we never actually know how much money we actually need because we never really actually thought about it. You just go, well, it's probably just really expensive, so I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it, and then you actually don't do nothing. So I think it's just that also too. It's you know, in we also have to like. Change, literally, even as Karen's saying, like, we do have to change our mindset of what success is, but we also have to change our mindset in how we actually do achieve what we're actually, that we supposedly think that we want, or really defining and knowing exactly what that actually is, so that we can write it down on paper and really kind of go out there and go, okay, this is, or actually know the path you're going, because sometimes, like, literally, we're walking a road without a roadmap, and it's kind of like, we need to kind of put a map out there, so where, you know, like, Africans go in a process where you're saying, like, you know, you're okay, you're making that decision to go and ask. That's part of the map. That's the first, maybe it's one of the steps in the map. It's one of the steps in the ask, knowing, or not only just getting brave enough to ask, but also knowing what to ask.
Right.
Right, and that's, I think all of us as artists just kind of have to, we have to figure that out, and then actually start walking that road.
I think we know how to produce. We know how to produce independent art, but we don't know how to sort of collectively make it sustainable. That meaning that we need to build our own infrastructure. I'm thankful that the grants are there, but I think we need to actually really sit down as a group and like figure out how do we make, you know, an independent art industry kind of sustainable, right? Where we're all able to make our and sustain our art, you know, collectively.
For me, I'm working from the process of understanding that anything that I'm trying to produce has to resemble the things that we know is actually successful in terms of looking at the environment, like nature, like earth, like when I use those places as symbols to construct something. So for me, industry doesn't work because I know industry robs. Like, and not to negate any words, I'm just saying, right? So for me, it's always like about how do I build an organism? How do I build something that knows how to take what it needs and then give out what it needs to give and works in a cycle and is healthy and holistic and organic and respects things as opposed to using the models that we see now? And for me, in looking at it, you know, I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice by thinking that we don't learn from the things we don't know. Like, there's this thing where, especially as people of color, it's like we need to be impeccable, you know? And I think we learn amazing things from not always being impeccable. I think we need to honor what it means to make a mistake and to not always know and to not get caught up in your head. Like Eddie talked about the roadmap. I always talk about feeling like I was given a roadmap under my skin, you know? Not something that I could look at and go, okay, point A, point B, but, oh, this feels not so right, but I made this choice. Oh, I learned from that. Oh, wait, now I need to, do you know what I mean? That the journey isn't linear. The journey can be cyclical. You can go backwards. You can go forward again. You can make a mistake. You can go, oh, I needed to learn from that. You can find the leprechaun that was waiting for you behind the bush if you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think we need to see it more wider in terms of what the journey and the experience can be for us, especially as artists.
Definitely. So, yeah, I just wanted to clarify. I guess for lack of a better word, I said industry, but I meant like something that is sustainable and organic,
yeah,
and that basically meets the needs of so that we could all sustainably make a living and make our art and be independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
definitely self-sustaining art. That's, I think,
that's the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal. Self-sustaining art. I think that's the ultimate thing. So that it's not always like feeling like our art is a charity. So that, you know, we always have to depend on grants, mm-hmm, and whatever. But I also, the way I also look at grants, because I actually remember being part of a movement years ago where, you know, it was all about, you know, self-sufficiency. And I was like, well, you know, it's one thing to be totally self-sufficient at a point, but I'm going with something, you know, everybody needs some startup funding. Right.
Yeah,
right. Sure. And basically, I'm just like, you know, grants to me is basically that's my tax money, so I'm trying to get it back. So I have no opposition to, you know, to get up startup funding.
No,
you know, right? Come up with a plan, get the startup funding, you know, and then once I'm good and going, you know, once I get everything up and going the way that it needs to be, I'm like, all right, cool. Right, and definitely then, like, you know, put a hand back so that you can help others coming up and inspire them and bring them up and show them how to do it for the next generation, you know. So,
So what do you think? You know, we're on internet radio right now. We're on internet
radio. Big old.
Yeah.
What is the, you know, the internet as a platform done for spoken artists?
Artists in general,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
There's this movement around, like, they call it like the pop-up shop, right? You don't need a lot of startup. You can create a virtual space and then decide how you are going to populate and decorate that space. That's a pretty amazing thing to be able to do, knowing that before what it took to generate an audience, what it meant to connect to people, meant that you had to go through Babylon to do it, right? And they raped you, you know, like, don't drop the soap, you know, like, are you kidding me? You know, like, American me, you know what I'm saying? So the ability to, like, from my house, like, so let's look at this, me as a mother, right? What I've built now in terms of being able to ask people and be in this platform of saying, will you support me, has been a journey of 3 years, of maybe even longer, of like getting on Facebook, learning how Facebook worked for me, learning what my communication was on Facebook, finding myself and what made me comfortable, learning Facebook wasn't my email platform, it was a way for me to connect with people who weren't necessarily people who were in my life, but it was still an intimate connection. Then learn about Twitter, then find my space in that, then maybe release the album, but not last word people for money, just want people to hear it. What's your feedback? What's your da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Then that becomes my business card, because I'm not pushing business cards. I'm like, hey, just go to this space. You can get a live virtual experience of what I do and who I am I don't have to pack CDs. I don't have to pack a tape. I don't have to do nothing. I just have to give you a link, right? I'm a mother with not a lot of money. And I'm in a place right now where I can ask for support because people have been able to experience me in a certain way for a very long time and say, okay, I'm down with that sister. Or it can be like, I don't like that sister. But either which way, it's given me a space to be myself and allow people to make a decision about me in regards to whether I'm the kind of artist that they want to support based on me actually having the opportunity to be myself. I think that's a really brilliant, amazing thing. I can walk in, open the door, and find a radio station. Like, I was like, but wait, you know? Just like that, that's what this platform is. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are scary about it, I'm not going to lie, you know? There's a lot of things that you have to question, and you understand that, you know, we are living in a time where Big Brother can see you and watch you and stuff. But there's also something incredibly amazing about what you have the power to do on this platform. And I give thanks for it. I think that's why I've come up at this time, because this was exactly the kind of platform that I needed to be, the kind of artist that I wanted to be, and build the kind of relationship that I wanted to build with the people who would support me.
I agree. I know it's hard to go after her.
You know what I'm saying?
It's really hard.
It's like, how do you follow that? I'm about to do like your handstands, but you can't see it on the radio. You know? but actually, I had a thought, and seriously, you always silence me. Ask me a question. I'll answer it.
Well, let me redirect me. Focus me. What is the internet done for you in reaching your audience?
I think that it's a platform and it's a tool. I think it's a tool, and I think every day, like, I'm still learning how to use that tool properly. You know, because people can get caught up in going, yeah, you know, I have like 600 friends and whatever. Like, even like my Twitter account, like, I got people that are following me daily, but I have to learn how do I forge actually a real relationship, because sometimes, like, they're following me, but, like, they're not saying anything, they're just following me. So, like, why are they following me? And kind of figuring out what exactly is this tool? What exactly is this tool of, you know, or is it because of something that I said on somebody else's page? And like, oh, okay, this guy's interesting, let me follow him.
How do you engage in your followers?
Mm-hmm. I try, like, basically, and I try to be more active. I try to be more active, and definitely, like, you know, when I'm, like, you know, when I'm doing things. Because at first, because some people also, too, like, they kind of have, like, personal conversations on there where really, I don't, you know, it's just like, no, don't do that. Like, right, don't do that. Like, basically, it's like, you know, I'm going to let you know what I'm doing as an artist on there. That's my platform here. If it was, you know, whatever my thought of the day is, if you find that's interesting, you know, let me know. You know, connect with me, you know, in that way, and let us, you know, have a conversation. And, you know, and just, you know, or if you're out there as an other artist and you're doing something, you know, for us to kind of communicate that way and knowing what everybody's kind of doing, so you can still kind of support, even though, you know, it's might be arm distance away, you know, on this invisible wave, this matrix thing, but, you know, but we are able to connect with each other, and that's the whole point, where I can be talking to somebody in England, back and forth, and that's actually probably
yeah,
one of the coolest
absolutely.
Things is this, that, yeah, like, you know, like, I have fans in England, or I have friends in England that literally, like, I could talk to weekly, and, you know, I could do that through Skype, or I could do that, and that has been a really big thing, you know, knowing, you know, like, I mean, like, when, actually, myself and Afrika Karen were on an album years ago, and we had some fans, like, in Hawaii, and we were on, like, the top 10 in this Hawaii University radio station. I'm like, I've never been to a Hawaii. Right, and that, you know, and that has been like, how, yeah, like, that's been like, what, UK, you could have fans in, yeah, you have an international audience, and that's the other thing, because also too, America kind of also makes you feel that basically you need to go to America to blow up, and forgetting, like, you know, there's the rest of the world out there, right? And basically, as artists, we can connect with the rest of the world. We don't always have to go to the States. You know, they're nice hunting, but yeah, you know, but there's the whole world that's out there. You know, there's Africa, there's England, there's Japan, there's, you know, all these other places in the world that you can go to and share, and people are going to appreciate what you do. So,
we're kind of running late, so I wanted to give you guys a chance to actually plug what's coming up. And I hope that you guys come back.
Oh, we're coming back. You asked me? I was storming this place. How did I know that it's not locked and I don't need to knock? I just need to open the door? What? Every week, I'm your co-host. Hello. I am Afra Karen, and I'm the new... No, okay, let's not go there. Let's be honest.
I support Afra Karen because is the name of the event page. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Afra Karen. You can find me on Facebook at Afra Karen, and you can find my page, Afra Karen, as well. But events coming up, March 10th, Ellington's on St. Clair West. I will be doing a reading with my best friend and road dog and partner for life, Tuku. And we are together known as Karuna Luna, and we are starting a series called Black Folk. And so this is our initiatory show, and it's also part of the fundraising effort. And then the big spectacular is March 23rd at Loft 404. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be a more magical space. Feel so blessed to have it. I will be doing my first solo show, also to raise funds. And I am so excited about the kind of energy that's going to come into that space. If you'd like to donate, www.afrakaren.bandcamp.com for a 7-track album. It is a minimum donation of $5. If you want to give more, you are welcome to give more. Those are the details. And I'm here. I will keep producing, and I will keep trying to figure out what this voice is and develop it and be in the world. This is a very big moment for me, and I'm really, really excited about it. And so thank you for having me on the show.
And people get maybe like your Twitter and all
that kind of stuff. Oh, so yep, at Afra Karen on Twitter, Afra Karen Facebook page, and that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Eddie?
For me, so it's March 9th, which is this Saturday. It's going to be myself and Al St. Louis having a birthday celebration. So we're having a dinner show party, which is $25 in advance, and it's going to be at 227 Lounge, 137 City View Drive. So dinner is going to be at 8, show is going to start at 9, and then once the party starts around 11, but definitely you want to come out for the show, even if you don't come out for dinner. $15 for the show and the party in advance. And also celebrating the birthday, will be photographer Lance Kerr, Michelle Taylor, Shamoon Matthew, and all the Pisces people. Bring yourselves out. It's going to be big, featuring Lisa Michelle, Kevin Brathwaite, a.k.a. known as KB, myself, Al St. Louis doing spoken word, comedy by John Paul, Martin, Jay Martin, backed by the Al St. Louis Soulmates Band, and they're like rehearsals last night. Oh, my God. These guys are amazing, really amazing band. And hosted by Carrie Lee from G98.7 Steps After Dark. And big time DJs and all kind of things. So basically, I would say purchase your tickets. You can go to ASLBirthdayEventbrite.com. And, email money transfers does work too. So you can send info at alsanlewis.com. And that's basically about it for now. Yeah, so come on out. March 9th is the big time. And you can celebrate with me. I like the party. Come on out. It's going to be fun.
And then the next day on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Ellington's, you can come to the cafe and hang out and have an afternoon with Afra Karen. It's brilliant. Nighttime with Eddie, afternoon with Afra Karen. Nighttime with Eddie, afternoon with Afra Karen. And this is Roots Reggae Radio, and this, you have been listening to Artists in the City. We're heard here every week, Thursday, 6 to 7. Seven-ish, you know. And we're going to go right to music and tune in next week. Thanks, y'all.